Love that sound. I love playing that live. Maybe with my seminar, when you all show up, we'll play some of that stuff. I'm actually thinking of doing music at my seminar, you know. It'd be kind of neat. Yeah, I loved writing this song, playing this song. I played it all over the world. It's a good song. Called Horizon of Valentina. Anyway, I'm welcoming you to the Dr. Fred's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And we were sort of live the other night up at Don and Doug's, or is it Doug and Don's? I'm not even sure where I was this weekend, actually. It was kind of like a time warp being with those guys. They're both crazy guys. And I guess Friday night, Dr. Deagle's ex-FBI guest got gassed and in his apartment and ended up in the hospital because he said too much on BBS radio. I guess they even shut us down for a few minutes. Yeah, we're getting to be a pretty wild network out there when the government shuts us down and tries to kill our guests after the show. That's kind of how it goes sometimes. Anyway, tonight we're going to have, this is going to be Flash in the Past. Flash in the Past, not Flash in the Pants. Everybody gets that mixed up all the time. Tonight is a Flash in the Past night. First, we're going to do an old Dr. Fred Bell show, which you haven't heard yet, from the old K-Fox days, the old Health Energy, myself and Jim, of course, followed by a lecture from May of 93 at the Whole Life Expo in San Francisco. And there's a lot of information on both these things. Pretty good stuff. So I've got to get Dr. Bell woke up here because, you know, I'll tell you, he likes to procrastinate a lot. You know how he is. And I hope you keep tuning to BBS Radio. Don't forget we got our seminar coming up here with Dr. Deagle. Man, I guarantee you this one, and it's filling up fast, but I guarantee you this is going to be one heck of a seminar. We got people flying in from all over the world now. A lot of listeners and Art Bell people are coming, and might play some of my music, but Deagle and I are working on you want to bring your tape recorders for this one. Because we're going to be talking about stuff we wouldn't talk about on the air. It's just a little too hot, a little too warm, you know what I mean? It could be enlightening if you get the drift. So anyhow, we're getting it together more and more. There's less and less squawks at night when the shows come on and go off. And so it's starting to look pretty good up there. And soon we'll probably be on satellite radio. I see that coming. Anyhow, let's see if we can't roust up Dr. Fred Bell here. You know how he is. He's always stubborn. Getting him out, him and Jim are both pretty bad. But there he is.
93.5 KFOX Redondo Beach continues with Dr. Fred Bell's Health.
There he is. There I am twice now.
Show. Now, live from Laguna Beach, California, here he is, Dr. Fred Bell. Good morning, Dr. Bell.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing there?
Fine. It's Don and Doug. Laguna Beach.
It rained last night. It's not raining right now, but it looks like it will rain some more.
Good.
So you guys had fun this morning. I listened to some of the shows this morning. It sounded like you guys were having a lot of fun.
Now, what do you think of Frederick?
He's interesting. He's a real devotee, you know.
Yes, he is.
And devotees are always a lot of fun because they have a tremendously active imagination, you know. And he definitely has that. He's good energy, you know. He'll definitely shake people up a little bit and, like, make them think about things a little harder, you know.
Well, I think Frederick likes to shake people up and get them to think.
Yeah, that's his thing in his lifetime, which is great, you know. And I enjoy him. He talks fast, too. He talks faster than I do.
Yes, he does.
So how many times he's been on? A few times now, I guess.
He's been on a couple times, and there was a seminar done just about a month ago, I guess, so maybe not quite that long ago. And we had a couple hundred people there, and it was quite an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, it sounds like fun, you know. I like to listen to him talk about reincarnation. He's in a lot on Hitler, I noticed that, too.
Yes, yes.
And I've just been making a tremendous study of Hitler's life. Matter of fact, I'm reading Mein Kampf right now for... incredible book. I recommend that everybody read that book because Hitler was one of the greatest psychologists that ever walked the face of the earth.
He was also a psychic.
Yeah, oh yeah, very much so. He was also into the teachings of the White Brotherhood, and you know, and even a lot of the movies like the George Lucas film In Search of the Lost Ark. He's, you know, his whole regime is, you know, he's looking for the treasures. Back when him and Goring was his general right underneath him, when they were raiding these different countries and looting these different museums and that. A lot of these countries, like when they took over they came into Poland, they were down in Austria where he was born. They went through all these countries who were pillaging all these wealthy homes of all their collections, and then Hitler's dream was to build a private museum for himself with the greatest artifacts in the world. He was very much into the occult, very much, a lot deeper than a lot of books realize. He just, I think he went insane in the latter part of his career, because he didn't really, he saw all the problems of society, and those problems, I think, and he even went, he made a lot of reflections off the Babylonian times, which was quite interesting. But, you know, it's so easy to get caught in that, you know, and it was really interesting. There was a tremendous trade-off in personalities between Hitler's time and Mahatma Gandhi's time, because they both lived during the same time, and they were both very aware of each other, and they both respected each other. You know, Gandhi was one of the, that's where in the Gandhi movie, he somebody asked him what would happen if Hitler came down into India, and he said that we would eventually win, or we would suffer many defeats, you know, and it's quite interesting, because Gandhi's approach was the disassociated view of change, and Hitler was the associated view of change. Hitler tried to force the change, and Gandhi just opened the pathway to let it happen. That was the big contrast between these two men, you know. I found that, in great spiritual giants, the ones that I've run across, the actions pretty much speak for, you know, where they're coming from. Not so much what they say, it's what they actually do. And it was quite interesting. So what did you think of Hitler? Did you ever get into his life very much?
Well, I think he was the original Darth Vader. I think he got sucked in by the dark forces, and it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what time. Studying is really part of his life back when he was an artist living in a construction worker in Vienna. He seemed like he was pretty mellow then. It was sometime, I think it was during the last reign, the last Kaiser there in Germany, that right after he was in the war. I think when he was in World War One at the latter part, I think that's what turned him around, just from my studies at that point. But realized that his life was predestined anyway. Like, I really believe in predestiny in all of us, you know.
Well, I would hate to think that a person is predestined to kill 12 million people. I think that's almost a cop-out. I believe that he had free will and he knew what he was doing, and he was one of the most infamous people in the millennium.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's a great power. Yeah, he was definitely overtaken and one of the greatest personifications of the dark force, you know, and the way that some of these people were killed, especially the way they killed a lot of the children. I don't even want to talk about it on the air, but it was pretty brutal. There's no doubt about it. And just the total opposite of that was Gandhi and his total gentleness, where he would kill himself to make a point. But if you look at the results of what Gandhi's work was all about versus the work of what Hitler was all about, you'll still see two nations totally divided at this point in time. It is no one man that can change anything. It has to be the entire consciousness of the world. That's what we were talking about yesterday about Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The consciousness has to come from within the spiritual world, within all of it.
You know, the strange thing that I always find so ironic about Adolf Hitler and the German people during that time was that, as you pointed out, Hitler was not a German by birth. He was an Austrian.
Right, he was born in Austria. And he studied the Nazi regime, and he studied the works of Marx and all those people, you know. And, it's like right now, he moved into Germany gradually because it was the opportunity that he was looking for. In Austria, it was a system not like America, but it was too stable for him to go in. He had to go where there was real conflict, where the potential for conflict, or the opportunity. The opportunity was in Germany. And that's what he, that's where he went. Anyway, when you look at Germany, look at India, even today, like, what's India? You know, India, they have a tendency to assassinate their, the Gandhi family. You know, the recent Gandhi was killed. And so that conflict is still going on between the caste in Germany. It's partially divided now by Russia, and you see the conflict going on there. The Germans, the Europeans, are stubborn as ever in their ways, and, you know, the difference, like, there are old family is embedded deep into Germany, just like your old families that are in America that are Germans and English. And you really look around the world, you really can't do anything about the world situation. It's like if you take somebody that's a poor person and you feed them, you now have a non-hungry poor person. From within has to come the motivation to go out and become worldly and to become knowledgeable and to become servient to the human race. But then you have to learn how to what to serve and what not to serve. Because if you serve, whatever energy you put your place yourself into, you become. So my whole philosophy in life at this point in time is to work on ourselves. And if people are open to self-development and share in our peer groups, then to extend our own self-knowledge, our self-anointment, if you would have it, onto the groups that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, so my whole spiritual thrust has been in this lifetime so far, and I just sort of fell into it, I wasn't looking for it, was to create, I saw science, you know, science being a problem to the human race, being that it was the spiritual development was going one way and science going the other way. And out of science, when science was deceived by ignorance and clouded by greed, you know, like in the days of the J. Pierpont Morgan and Nikola Tesla, when that was a good example of that conflict. So when this happened and science became tainted by this factor, then we created technology. And of course, out of technology, we diversified this form of ignorance into a giant spider web all over this planet with the fossil fuels, the atomic energy, the way it's used, all the brute force, you know, all these mechanisms. So that's what I was involved with when I came into the science plane. I came through the political thing. I was very much of a hellraiser when I was younger. I was involved in rallies with the unions. I was involved with a lot of nationwide things in politics for a long period of time in my life, which I've never even talked about on the station, so there's no need to. But eventually I began to see this need for science, and then I saw science killing the environment, so it was important to reinstate the environment. So the kinds of science that we talk about here with the pyramids and the ionizers and the vitamins and all the things that we're into is a science that will help heal this planet and make it possible for the children of a new age to flourish with Christ consciousness within them. Because, you know, you could take the most Christed being and put them in the middle of hell, and they may exist all right in hell, but hell won't get the benefit. So what you got to do is remove hell.
Okay, now, Dr. Bell, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a second.
Okay.
Since you've been studying, you know, Hitler, and you are an expert in some of the more esoteric sciences, do you think that if some of the sciences which are around today and just coming to the forefront were really around during the time of Adolf Hitler, that would have stemmed his aggressive nature?
Well, I think, first of all, do you think that the war things that he was exposed to?
You were talking about enlightenment, and I think that, again, it has to be an individual enlightenment, and if every individual becomes enlightenment, you have a mass of enlightened people, and that, of course, is very beneficial. But somehow I just feel if there were more advanced technologies around during that period, he just would have used them for more destructive purposes.
No, I totally agree with that. He laid out his basic doctrines of what he was going to do when he was in prison after the beer hall putsch of 1923. And during the time he was in prison, he laid out this entire constitution of what he was going to do. And people didn't believe that he was going to do it. So step by step, even though he'd written a book on exactly what he was going to do, you know, until it actually began to happen, people weren't aware of it. Now, because of, you know, realize that Hitler had a tendency to look for, you know, ex-convicts, people that were demented in nature, to carry out these diabolical plans. So when you have a demented group, and intelligence doesn't discriminate between a demented soul and a free soul. It permeates all of us. And so what happens is these demented people had these cabinets within Hitler's ranks that Hitler wasn't totally aware of. There was a constant power play between the different people in his staff for power. They were constantly, like when he took over he had a big problem taking over the German army, the Wehrstadt, because when the German army didn't really believe in Hitler, they didn't want him. He created his own army, the SS, which was like a smaller army, and it grew until it could control the big army. And to get rid of the generals, for example, that were controlling his greatest opposition, for example, what he did is he accused one of them of being a homosexual and the other one of marrying a prostitute. And this killed two of his largest generals. And it took him like 4 years to set them up and actually have trials with the Gestapo proving that, you know, that they were demoral. So he lowered himself to using demoralizing things on these people, even if they were innocent, to gain his power. Well, because of that, like the scientist that I worked with in this lifetime, Wernher von Braun, for example, he was what I would call a fairly enlightened person. And he ran away in 1945. He was the guy that did the V-2 rocket, because at the very end of Hitler's time, you know, these great scientific achievements started to surface, because Germany had basically reestablished its scientific community and rearmed itself. During the good part of World War II, Germany was, when they started the war down in the southern front, in France being their first victory, they didn't even have proper weapons. They were understaffed. It was a big gamble. His army had told them they weren't even ready to start a war. And Hitler said, yes, we're going to do it anyway. And luckily, France offered no resistance when he took over the Rhine Belt down there along the river. So he was moving way too fast for his time, and all his good people defected. And so a lot of them came here. Like, Wernher von Braun was not the only German scientist to come here. My physics teacher at the University of Michigan, Dr. Katz, who was taught me about nuclear physics and particle physics, also had been in Germany. I've studied under many, many very powerful, what I would call deep-seated German families that were great scientists, but they did not in any way, shape, or form believe in his viewpoint. They were believing in the democracy, which Hitler was so much against them. He was totally against democracy. Now, true, democracy does support the weak individual, and because of that, it does cause problems, and because democracy supports the weak individual, you get into big companies like Rockwell, and these weak individuals then build empires around them and create diversions about the true nature of a project. So as a result, pollution, people don't care about pollution. People don't care about what the outputs of scientists are going to, you know, the outputs of science are going to represent. So then the free thinkers, people like the Fred Bells in the world, come along, and they work themselves through the Rockwells like I did, and through the other aerospace companies that I worked for and scientific communities that I came through, and suddenly realize that you just have to be somewhat self-centered in the scientific community and make your own contribution, and then whatever part of the scientific community can adapt to that, let them then join you. And in this way, you end up with groups, and it's the old philosophy, the old adage of energy seeking its own balance. So, like I was, when I started ionization back in 1973, I was one of the most controversial people in America, because even though in Europe ionization was popular, and even though in America and some of the universities it was popular, the American public had no idea what was going on, and the pseudo-democratic, weak-based scientists would just shun it, because they are the kinds of people that control the power that are entrenched around some real high power that's sort of disassociated with them. So this is the whole thing that I had to work myself through. But then when I wrote the books on ionization that I wrote, and the machines started coming on the marketplace, there became a war to get out there with ionizers. But nobody was really still looking at the real source and cause of the need for ionization. None of these ion companies were making any sort of crusade to turn around and clean up the environment. All they would try to do is let the greed factor enter in the new age. So it's a constant weeding out process that we have to go through. And this, there's nothing you can do about it until more and more souls incarnate that are in Christ consciousness. That, you know, the difference between the Piscean, the philosophy of a Piscean, which is the age that we're coming through, versus the philosophy of the Aquarian, is the Piscean says, I believe, and the Aquarian says, I know. And being, I feel that I'm in the Aquarian age, and I make the statement, I know. And with that internal fortitude of knowingness comes an expression of accomplishment, self-attainment, self-accomplishment in the world. And other people, then it unleashes that in other people. There's some people that are right on the edge of being Piscean Aquarian. So this knowingness, this knowledge, you know, comes out of them. It liberates them. It's like a nuclear reaction in a peaceful manner. I think it's kind of fascinating, you know, what we're doing here.
Yes, I do. Dr. Bell, I would like to take a time out to talk about something that is also fascinating, and that is Excalibur. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show after this time out. The name is Excalibur. Excalibur, the world's finest nutritional supplement for the 80s that you've heard Dr. Fred Bell speak of so often, is now available to you at a super low price. Only $14.95. Excalibur is a synergistically formulated supplement that took years to develop and guarantees maximum assimilation within the body. Most supplements meet only part of your nutritional needs, but Excalibur is a full-spectrum nutritional supplement. Don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. Order today by calling area code 714-499-2603. That number, 499-2603. Or write to Excalibur, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92603. Remember, don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. 22 minutes now after the hour of 11 o'clock. Once again, here is Dr. Fred Bell.
Well, anyway, Jim, I want to kind of finish up more on this receptor that we've been talking about all week, letting people know about it, because it's one of the new age devices that we've created. And those of you that are just tuning in, we've been talking about a device that's worn on the body that produces a negative ionization effect within the structure itself. And what it does is it works with the DNA in the body, and there's a little booklet that's available for $1 if you want direct information on it. But one of the forms of toxicity that comes into the body that causes changes that are not very good for us is radiation. And radiation comes from high-powered transmissions from radar and things like that. And what this does is it causes an unwinding of the atomic nuclei in the DNA structure of the cell in the body. And for example, if a person is in part of the aging process, the cell has a tendency to, it has to have a full set of coded genetic instructions. And these coded instructions are coded in an electronic code, just like a Morse code, like a telegraph transmitter. And so if radiation bombards this transmission, it creates extra pulses in this coded network, which then causes genetic mutations. In one case, is before the radio wires and the electrical power lines were strung up all over the planet back in 1930, 1929, in those days. Before that, the human being, the actual size of a person, was smaller than a person today. And if you don't believe that, go down to some shipyard where they have like these museum shipyards and look at the size of the berths in the old sailing ships that are sitting at the docks and the harbors. And you'll see that people were very much shorter then than they are now. So radiation has had an effect of making things larger. An extreme view of that would be down in Florida, down by outside of Miami, Florida. They did some experiments a few years ago where they would have these like 100-foot towers. And underneath the ground were large amounts of radium in capsules. And what they would do is they would raise these towers. They would bring radium out of the ground up a great big long platform and up to the top of a 100-foot tower, and they would bathe all of the vegetation within a 4 or 5 acre radius of this tower. And the kinds of vegetation that would get this this bath of radiation would be like watermelons and tomatoes and pears and different kinds of trees were there, and many different plants. And as a result, the fruit, I mean, I've seen tomatoes the size of watermelons, and watermelons so big you couldn't pick them up, because the radiation here genetically caused the plants to grow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times larger than they normally would. However, the plants were not edible because they too became radioactive. So they would also, of course, there were genetic mutations in some of them too. Different plants behaved different ways. So this was one of the effects of radiation on plant matter. Do you remember those experiments, Jim?
Not really, no.
They were in they used to have pictures up back in the days of when popular science and popular mechanics were popular. You know, they were very, you know, I think more of America was reading those magazines then because there was less TV than there is today. With the increase of television, I know people read a lot less, including myself, unfortunately. And so, yeah, this was some of the experimentation that went on down in Florida for several years. Man, I saw some huge watermelons. I mean, they grew tremendously. But what happens is in the human body, nature may want it to grow larger and more complex with time, but it's really not up to man to accelerate that growth. I feel that the growth will come out of the knowledge that the human structure attains going through the different exercises of the daily, you know, the process of daily life. And so anyway, when we look at our bodies, we got to realize that there's about 12 billion nucleic acids within the center of all our cells. This is called DNA. And just before we are born, the DNA has 46 base pairs per turn to direct a full complement of instructions to reproduce cells at a high vitality level. Now, I realize at 55 years age, because of the stress that we go through in society, there's only 6 base pairs per turn left. And this causes the cells not to receive a full set of instructions. And, of course, this is a gateway to advanced aging. This is where we see wrinkling of the skin, failure of the endocrine system, diseases like diabetes, hypoglycemia, and all the kinds of different diseases that we see. So what we have found in our life extension research, and I'll be talking about metabolic things very soon because we have some new products we're going to be introducing here momentarily in the nutritional field, but in the electronic field, the DNA, in order to reflect itself back and forth, uses large amounts of precious minerals like chromium, for example. It's very important in the body. And these are electronically gated by this pulse technique to produce complements. And the complement, of course, is the sugar phosphate step, like a stepladder that grows in a spiral manner, these little spirals, like little spirals inside our cells. And these forms of toxic stress reduce the rate that these spirals are reproducing themselves, so the spirals end up getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. So we found that devices like, you know, when we worked with pyramid energy, we found that, first of all, pyramids would cause plants supposedly to grow bigger and healthier than the control plants that were not exposed to pyramid energy. But this, of course, wasn't true. What the pyramid was doing was blocking the negative effects of the environment around the non-control plants. But, so, we wore pyramids for long periods of time on the head, and we had people sleeping in them. I still sleep in one. Got a 5-year-old daughter that was born in one. But the problem with the pyramid was it was too large and cumbersome to really get any effectiveness out of in daily life. It didn't fit into our societal norms. So what we did is we reduced the pyramid structure down to 144 small pyramids and put it on a small spiral disc called the nuclear receptor. And that, of course, was the birth of the nuclear receptor generation, which is what I would call a part of an alternative technology that we're constantly trying to make people more and more and more aware of.
And, Dr. Bell, unfortunately, I'm also aware of time, and we are out of it for today.
Okay, great. If you want more information, you can write us at 891 Santa Ana Street in Laguna Beach, zip 92651.
Right out of time. The best place to reach us is 1-800-729-2603. That's 1-800-729-2603. That's the place for Dr. Fratton these days, anyhow. So now what we're going to do is we're going to switch right over to the next event here. Oh, the next event. The next event is going to be, we're going to be talking from the expo as I talk to you, and it's going to be some really good topics, too. Some really hot stuff coming up. And like I say, we're having more fun at bbsradio.com, and tell your friends about it. And don't tell your friends about us, because we're too mean, but we really enjoy all these things that we're doing and sharing with you. Here we come up on the next facet of our lives, back at the show in San Francisco. This was in front of an audience of several hundred, and it was a lot of fun. I always have a lot of fun. Sometimes the thing stops up. The nuclear receptor, by the way, is going to be a real hot item, as you probably have already figured out. And if you want more information on that, you know where to call. And also, be sure and get in touch with us as far as the seminar goes. That seminar is going to be a lot of fun. That's in May. Here, oh, there's Dr. Fred. There he is.
Huge amounts of radiation.
I heard some of this recently. But imagine 20 some years ago, 25 years ago when I was talking about it. Anybody still listening? Maybe this will register now.
We have every food and transport right now. I brought up facts of the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, which became public notice, or, you know, now is back approximately 1981. In the margin,
there is a little hum in that from the old recording, but it's still worth listening to. Not quite our usual quality, but it's bearable.
If you ever want to get information on what's going on behind the scenes, the Executive Intelligence Review in Washington, D.C., which you can get their phone number out of the information, is a good source to get it from. They have a monthly and bi-weekly publication that is put together by a lot of government operatives. We talked about the depopulation policy. One of the things I wanted to bring up is some of the things that are wrong with our foods, because the food chain is being attacked.
Now it gets better.
I can't use it. It's too short.
This was always the problem whenever I'm doing a lecture. Microphone noise. It comes and goes. I'm getting these people to, ooh, a microphone. And then we're engineers. We don't have that noise.
If you go to the store,
but eventually we get it right. It's always fun to get interrupted about 10 times during a lecture. Good for the chain of thought.
These chemicals, they're not natural vitamins. They do a lot of destruction to your body. There's so many things wrong with the foods that we eat.
That was an Andromeda just stepping in, the door slamming.
Because one of the attacks of our society, the idea of the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy, is to depopulate the earth by approximately 1 billion people by the year 2000. And I think with the introduction of the man-made virus AIDS, we're well on the way to, you know, exceed possibly those goals. There's many different ways to negate against this. These things that are going on, the ELF waves. How many of you are familiar with ELF in here? Those of you that are you familiar how it's transmitted to you? How do you think it goes to your body? Anybody know? How's it transmitted? What medium is used? Anybody know? The ground wire of your 110-volt AC system in your house. Okay, that's how it comes in. If you realize that you're lying inside your walls or wires light all these lights. On the third wire, which is the ground wire, is where the ELF is transmitted. Okay? So there's a lot of things that people don't realize. The ELF waves are instilled down into the ground, 6-7 miles down into the ground by ELF generators at frequencies that are just beyond the harmonious range of the alpha, beta, delta, theta frequencies that go into our body. So as a result, ELF waves not only destroy the body's ability to produce a healthy system, but it also destroys the hormonal system in the body. And as a result of that destruction, you can see how the behavior of the earth is becoming. For example, in Orange County, we used to have one major shooting or something a year, maybe two or three a year. Now we have one or two a day sometimes in California, where I live. The numbers are astounding. The statistics on rapes, for example, in New York City, an attempted rape is 1 out of 2 females, in Los Angeles, 1 out of 4. So this just goes on. Carjackings. My helper here, Stephanie, right here, standing over here, 2 weeks ago in Seal Beach, was beat up by two people that assaulted her with a baseball bat when she was getting in her car by a grocery store. So, I mean, times are getting a little bit rough. So it becomes time to realize that we have to make some serious changes on this planet. I became a contactee of the Pleiadians back in 1971. During this before that, I'd left the aerospace industry. I'd worked for the government for 15 years in different capacities, being at NASA. I was in the Air Force. I was on university projects before that. And during in 1971, when I was studying with a lot of Eastern masters, I came in contact with an extraterrestrial woman by the name of Semyasi. And it took time for me to become comfortable with the situation. It was exciting, but I didn't quite understand what it was all about. And it took me 4 or 5 years to be able to communicate with her and understand what they were trying to get across, which is the knowledge of the future. And up until about 1989, I was heavily involved for almost 20 years with contacts about science and how the Pleiadian science would help the people of the Earth in the future times. In 1989, the contact group changed And I went into a contact situation with a woman by the name of Liara from the Andromeda galaxy. And she began to give me a huge dose of information on the political scene. Since then, I have gotten into the field of politics and have begun to communicate and work within the political structure of the world. And it's real important to understand that part, but today I want to start off with the basic science of the human body. Also during this time, starting in about 1955, we had a civilization here of a negative extraterrestrial group that has greatly aided the what I call secret government or the MJ-12 groups in a negative science or a science that's being kept away from people. The science goes in two directions. One, it's been a technology boost to areas like up here at Sandia Labs, Los Alamos, over in Nevada, Area 51, that group over there. I've got a tremendous technology boost since the 50s. The trade-off for this technology boost was their right of the Greys to abduct and look at human beings and to do studies on animals. Of course, this got out of hand, and at one time when the Greys were presenting lists of people that they would observe, the people that were picked up were thousandfold more times, you know, in quantity than there were on the list. Approximately one out of four children on a milk carton that's missing today has been abducted permanently by the Greys and will never be seen again. I'm sure you see how many disappearances there are even in the state here. Animal mutilations, by the way, have started again. In the process of all of these things, the Greys have gotten slightly out of hand. They had a large base up here at Dulce, which we've been on three or four times. We've done filming up there. We've had a Pleiadian attack on them. There's some people in this room that were there with us when one of these exercises occurred. And I was educated by the Pleiadians how to deal with the Greys, but they're a pretty strong group to deal with, and they're very, very negative. The other thing that they do is they implant human beings. There's approximately 300,000 Americans that are implanted today as we speak. I can show you a slide here of a lady that came from Albuquerque who was implanted and photographed down at the Presbyterian Hospital in Albuquerque, one that Paul Benowitz had done some studies with. Also, women have been abducted and impregnated, and usually for about 3 months this process is allowed to go on in the human and the woman, and then the woman is re-abducted and the fetus is removed and grown somewhere else. The woman, of course, is barely aware of the fact that this happened. It's like a bad dream and maybe a lost period or two. But this is going on and picking up. Also, I'm sure you can see the tremendous loss of freedoms that we're starting to have in America now. The Constitution is a mockery. You should also, from the Waco incident, be able to see the difference between how the federal government treats people of a higher consciousness and what the real truth is. Even though it's a negative consciousness as it was in Waco, the whole incident was totally mishandled, and they had no understanding. The FBI and the ATF had no understanding whatsoever where these people's heads were at, and every expert they brought into the system was just as dumb. So what happens now is that the new age or the higher consciousness people, which I would hope would be in this room and around in this building today, people like yourselves are springing up all over the world. And we look at the government now, and the government's in the fishbowl and not us. And the government's still not even aware of it. Having Bill Clinton in there, he's showing that the president is now a mockery. He'll be the last president in the United States to ever have any credibility. And he'll lose it fairly quickly if things don't change, but it's not even his fault. It just happens to be the signs of the times. One of the biggest jokes right now is cutting the budget. First thing they should do is cut the budget, is get rid of half the aerospace, primarily NASA, because we are spending 50% of our money on NASA that could go into the building of the United States economy. The entire NASA network, every aspect is totally obsolete and has been since the 60s. The real knowledge lies over here in these hills to the west of us and up at Area 51 and Bentwater, England, and a few places like that. That's the real science and technology. We've been on the moon since the 60s, and they're still trying to talk about suborbital vehicles like the Challenger and all the other ones that are out there. It's a joke. It's a total joke. Our medical science is far ahead of what you see on the street, and they can't even get it together to get a medical program. So to me, it's an entire joke right now. So I just turn my attention to how the human systems work, how the Greys interface with them, what we can do on a personal level, what we can do on a family level, and what we can do on an environmental level in changing our world. And that's what we do. First thing I want to do is talk a little bit about how the human body works so you can get a basic understanding of what's going on. The body is 5% mineral. This 5% mineral controls 95% of all metabolic functions. If you were to look inside the body at how the body functions, first of all, realize how common electricity works. If you have an ordinary wire and hook a battery to it, electricity would move through the wire from negative to positive. If you were to disconnect the battery and bring a magnet to it, a magnetic field would reinduce electricity back into the wire. So in other words, electricity and magnetism are synonymous with one another. Secondly, if you were to take a magnet and place it a north and a south pole next to a coil of wire and hook it to like a water wheel, every time the north pole went by the top part of the coil and the south pole went by, each time the north pole would go by, the electrons would move in one direction. When the south pole came, they would move in the other. This is called alternating current. The brain works the same way. By using different electrolytes in the brain, and these electrolytes being driven by the frequencies that come from the three different frequencies of the nervous system, the brain is stimulated into electrical action, which then causes the mind to think and everything to function in the body. Stress depletes a lot of things in the brain that causes us not to be able to function clearly. So what we did is we did research and we found out what we could put back into the brain to make the stress-related part of the brain function more correctly. For example, we did some studies when I was at the University of Michigan, and there we found that during the Nagasaki and Hiroshima blasts of the bombs going off, there were people that were right up close to the bomb that had no permanent genetic damage. There were other people 30 miles away that had tremendous amounts of genetic damage. So why could people survive this ground zero blast of radiation and have no real long-term serious damage? We found out that the ones that survived close range of the atomic explosions had large amounts of electrolyte-giving herbs. So because of that, we began the formulation of vitamins with special herbs in it. We used Fotai, Ginseng, Gotokoa, the Reishi mushroom, a lot of these different herbs that we use. These, in turn, cause the brain to generate its own radiation and not be affected by the radiation of the environment. If you're deficient in any of these areas, you'll be one of these people that's always the effect and never the cause. The idea is to become the cause. When the electricity is flowing in the brain, it would be like the same thing as turning this wheel faster and faster. And under different thought processes, it causes the electricity to move through the body, through the three nervous systems, at varying rates of speeds. When the electricity moves through the central nervous system at various rates of speeds, all of your five senses and all your perceptual values begin to have a holographic validity within your beings themselves. Different people have different rates of perception. For example, some people can see auras, others can't. The ones that can't typically are not tuned fine enough and therefore cannot oscillate freely enough to reach and receive the light frequencies that are necessary to perceive auras. If you were to, for example, start turning this from 60 cycles a second, which is what the frequency of the room lighting is, up to 1,000 cycles, you would get up in the hearing range. Go through 10,000 cycles, you start to pass the hearing range for most people. Although with Pleiadian sound techniques, we can hear as high as 20 kilohertz, 20,000 cycles, once you reopen these parts of your body, which I'll talk about later. Animals can hear higher than that. Some animals can hear as high as 100,000 cycles per second, for example. Then you go on up in frequency more and more, and you start generating visible light. The going back and forth of electricity through the wire or through the body produces visible light. When you can produce visible light, you are able to go into the healing fields and generate different color frequencies to heal down through the chakras. And this is usually part of the beginning of what we call self-mastery. When you go further up in frequency, you get up into the frequencies that approach that of telepathy and a lot of the different things that the different things in the body functions that are called siddhis. I'm sure some of you that do meditate are familiar with siddhis. For those of you that are not, we call them the psychic sports or the superhuman activities, such as walking on hot coals, levitating in the air, dematerializing or becoming invisible. These kinds of things become possible. All of this is possible by understanding how the human body works and augmenting yourself in that direction. Now, this is 2 hours normally done in 3 days. Looking at the body, we have 3 different sets of nerves going down through the spinal cord, distributing themselves through the body. The first, and all of these require minerals, the first group of nerves is the low-frequency mineral frequencies. This is where you have your iron and your zinc, your magnesium, and all of these things. In order to get large amounts of these in the body, what we do is in our formulations, we chelate them or we put them in a protein-bound substance. If you go to a health food store and buy a lot of minerals, typically they don't work unless they're chelated. The chelated ones cost more money, so people have a tendency to pass on them, but you're wasting your time with them, and most of them do more damage than good to your body. So you need to have a chelated form of mineral. The second frequency of mineral in the body is the frequency of the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is your feelings and your thoughts, your lower frequency thoughts, those kinds of things. And the high frequency is the parasympathetic, which is the feelings of God and the telepathic powers and things I was just talking about there. These are the 3 different frequencies that we use. The trace minerals that you just took work on the higher frequency in the body, and the lower frequency minerals are covered in our formulations, and you can also buy those in the health food store. Trace minerals are pretty hard to find that are real. The next thing we look at in the body is the assimilation of the enzyme. The body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Hydrogen is a very active, it's basically 3 gases and a solid, the solid being an octahedral shape or a pyramid shape. So all of these gases use the intelligence which the pyramid shape delivers to them and combine into all the cells in the body, producing all the cells and all the different fields in the body. When we look at the enzyme factor, we're dealing with a term called pH, potential hydrogen. Does anybody know what that means? How could you define pH? Anybody know? Oh. Right. Any other definitions of that? You guys remember that from school? I'll show you something here. Pleiadians have a different way of looking at pH. I find the right slide here. There it is. The pH factor has to do with potential hydrogen, and they look at the hydrogen atom itself, which is a proton and an electron. Now, this electron is moving somewhere near the speed of light. And it's necessary to put things in your body that have to do with the chemical value that this electrical value is placing on your body. You've got to realize modern science teaches us about a little bit about nutrition and a little bit about medicine. On this level, most people are educated, even in the holistic movements, only on a biochemical level. If you back up, if you want to study how your body works, just as important to biochemistry, which is on one level, need to go back up another level and go back up to what's called the electrical level of the body. When you get to the electrical level, you have to deal and balance that. When you start dealing with that, in dealing with, say, for example, ill health, you'll get better results with ill health with biochemistry than treating the electrical parts first with electrical values. Then we go to a science behind that, behind electricity, and that's called the science of electrical precursation. Meaning these are factors that are necessary to complete themselves in order for the electricity and the biochemistry to unify. The science of electrical precursation has to do with the grid networks like on this, the receptor pyramids, and different structures, shape structures that you'll see throughout, presented out through the hall out here. Okay. When you're dealing with the hydrogen atom, you have 7 levels of energy coming into the hydrogen atom. These levels of energy come in the form of sound on one level, which is represented by the musical scale. On another level, the covers come through seven colors, which are represented by the seven colors of the rainbow, and there are deeper and deeper levels. These levels of energy, as they come through, represent each level of consciousness as it's applied to the physical plane. The physical plane, the astral plane, the mental, the Buddhic, ethnic, Vedantic, and the Logoic plane. This is the primary energy of the universe, the secondary, the third. This is the first three energies of the universe, and these are the lower four. Each one of these energies is transmitted into one of your seven chakras in your physical body. But in order for that transmission to be complete, it has to work harmonically through the pH factor of the hydrogen atom. In the morning when the sun comes up, for example, the red of the rainbow is shining right on the hydrogen atom on the nucleus. The violet is shining on the electron, which is rotating around the nucleus. And the rest of the rainbow falls in between, with the center frequency being green, the color of nature. As the sun moves through the sky during the day, this frequency changes at 180 degrees. So when the sun goes down at night, the violet is now over here, and the red is over here on the electron. How many of you ever noticed that your thoughts change at night? From what, like when you get up in the morning, in the middle of the night, you ever notice your thoughts are different? This is because the frequency shift of the hydrogen atom in the body, okay? The next thing which becomes very interesting is the fact that, let's say you're from New Mexico, and you get on a plane, and you go to Japan, or you go to Europe. You get off the plane, and you've been on the plane for, say, 15 or 18 hours. Now what happens is, you left here, it was daylight, 18 hours has gone by, it's still in the morning. You left here in the morning, now you arrived in the morning somewhere else, or in the evening somewhere else, 18 hours later. Your body is saying, what happened? And it takes a while to readjust. What happened is that your body is reliant on the fields and frequencies and energies of your home base, where you normally spend most of your time. And so you have dislocated your body frequencies from its location and relocated it somewhere else. So now it doesn't know. The body is now searching where to get the violet and the red realigned into the rest of the body functions. This is called jet lag. This situation compounds when you start going into extraterrestrial flying saucers or motherships or whatever and going halfway across the universe. It compounded at NASA when they started flying people to the moon, especially when you get weightless because your body can no longer produce calcium. That becomes a real problem because, remember, your heart doesn't beat without it. So a lot of medical problems begin to arise in a person that's not acclimated to make a tremendous change to the pH factors in the surrounding environment. And so Pleiadian science teaches us how to make these changes without going through all these, these stresses that I'm talking about. And, of course, if you don't make the changes, then what happens is the pituitary, or the pineal gland, which is a primary organ, which is responsible for these changes, starts issuing large amounts of serotonin, and you die in a short period of time, or if you don't go crazy first. And that came up on our NASA programs. And how many of you have ever noticed? A classic case of this was Betty and Barney Hill. They were abducted back in the 50s, taken out in space, brought back. Betty was able to reacclimate herself back to the Earth. Barney never could. Barney got cancer in a very short period of time and died. A lot of times you'll see people that are bona fide contactees all of a sudden go crazy. Why? Because they were probably taken for a ride somewhere and their body could never understand it again. So these are the kinds of things that happen. pH factor is a whole other conversation. Go from, I'm just giving an introduction to it. From here, we move into vitamins. Vitamins, once again, are units of biochemistry that contain light. Of the 20 or so known vitamins that we know of today, any one of them will fall into the seven levels of consciousness. We begin to look at these seven levels of consciousness, the seven rays. When you look at it as seven rays, you begin to understand a lot more about your body. For example, if you're having some kind of a deficiency on one of the ray colors, and this is causing maybe part of your body to malfunction, you're going down to a doctor, they can't find out what's wrong with you. You know you're not feeling right. You may have aches and pains, but nobody can figure it out. It's because they don't understand how to test you on color and sound frequencies. Once you're tested on color and sound frequencies, like we do when we test you for a nuclear receptor, we find out, let's say, you're low in yellow. If you know your vitamins, You know, each vitamin, like vitamin A is in the red, vitamin B complex is down in the yellow. If you know what vitamin complex goes with what ray color, then immediately you start increasing that vitamin or that frequency or that food even to bring up your metabolic levels. Then you change your environmental levels where you live to also enhance these different colors, and you bring about a change. Okay? So it's very important to understand from a simple level about vitamins on a level of the colors, realizing, once again, your foods, your pH system, and your minerals. But remember, your 5% of your minerals controls 95% of the rest of the metabolic functions of the body. So if you don't have the minerals in the body, the rest of this is not going to fall in place. Why? Because it just doesn't have the consciousness or the intelligence. Minerals also contain intelligence. How many of you know about Akashic records? Okay. Can anybody define them? The Akashic records are a recorded event of all of man's actions since the first man was ever created anywhere in the universe during this time frame of existence. Does anybody know where the physical location of Akashic records is? Alaska? Astral plane. Now, the Akashic records is on the etheric planes. It's located, how many of you have quartz? Like this, little pieces of crystals. I know Ann Rainbow back there has a few. It's in here. Akashic records is throughout this particular quartz kingdom. And it's not just on Earth, okay? The Pleiadians define a piece of quartz like this as a perfect synthesis of spirit and matter in zero time. Man creates more and more existence as he goes out and explores more and more and incarnates more souls onto this plane. As a result of that, the Akashic records grow heavier with more knowledge. Consequently, a quartz crystal, even out of the ground, grows a tenth of a percent of its weight every 10 years because of that fact. It grows. In different types of quartz, for example, are different records, different messages, different things. There's seed crystals, you know, earth keepers. The Atlanteans used to access all the quartz when it was underground. They never took it out. But now, because of what people don't understand, they removed a lot of quartz from the earth, which hurts the earth. So you have to be very careful how you treat your quartz, keep it cleansed, keep it operating properly. We made a lot of mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes that we did, and realized that civilizations rise and fall about every 25,000 years on this planet. And we are not, by any means, the highest technology civilization that ever lived here. As a matter of fact, this particular duration of man's existence is one of the shortest experiences of lifespans that he's ever experienced in the history of mankind. Back in the Atlantean times, 12,000 years.
Well, I guess that was the end of that side of the tape, and we're out of time. Oh, my gosh. Where did that time go? Can't believe about this thing about time. So next time we'll have to play Saturday night, we'll play the other side of that. That would be good, huh? Yeah, that puppy was good. That was a good one. Uh-oh, here we go. I guess we're leaving. I wish I was going with Semyazi like I did last Saturday night, but can't do it. Not on that topic anymore. She ain't around. She went back home. Got to put the dogs out. Yeah, Semyazi's got some Pleiadian dogs. They have a kind of a sound. She's got some birds. Birds talking code, Morse code. Beep, 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 beep. Strangest bird you ever saw. So I guess until we see each other again, time to put your guns in your holsters and mount up on them horses and head on out on the prairie. The prairie of the universe. Good night, Mrs. Calabasas, wherever you are. Good night. Stay tuned for more BBS specials. Somebody else is right behind me, itching to get on the airwaves, scratching at the door. What scratching? I like that scratching. Good night.
Read the most astounding book of our generation, Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light by Dr. Fred Bell. Bring energy and healing technologies into your life that have been kept secret for centuries, exposed or highly classified research projects in use today at NASA and Area 51. The book is available on Dr. Bell's website, www.pyradyne.com. You'll also see more information about Dr. Bell's nuclear receptors, which allow our bodies to process all forms of electromagnetic and chemical toxins, assuring longer, healthier life. Call 1-800-729-2603 today.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.